Hi, I'm Tyra G, your host of Frankly Speaking with Tyra G. Welcome again to our virtual global gathering of phenomenal women and those who love you. Mothers, daughters, grand and great-grandmothers, fearsome and generous, humble and honest in pursuit of new possibilities and purpose. You know we dig deep and we come up strong. For those of you joining us for the first time, each month we explore a new theme inspired by you. Yes, I said you. We bravely walk into places where tradition has taught us there's some things that we just don't talk about, but not at this table. No matter how hard judgment knocks, it can't come in. Beloved, here we live beyond the wreckage. Every week we experience, educate, encourage, and empower each other. We share aha moments and stories that have been left in our pockets for too long. Every week we start where we are. I am so excited about how the show is progressing. We are celebrating our fourth month of proof that dreams can come true. I thank God for every remembrance of you, your ideas, your presence, your encouragement, and your gifts. Thank you so much. Our theme this month is The Gift is in the Giving. This month, we're shifting our paradigm from thinking of gifts we receive wrapped in beautiful, shiny paper with ribbons and boxes of sparkling gift bags, or gift cards, or cars, or bikes, and everything nice we might have asked for. This month, we're focusing on the gifts that live inside each of us, that we're born with, to be discovered and nurtured and given away. I always like to research some of my favorite writers about the subject of the month. Winston Churchill said, We make a living by what we get. We make a life by what we give. Khalil Gibran, the prophet, writes, "You give but little when you give your possessions. It is when you give yourself that you truly give." I love this one. Frances Burnett in the book A Little Princess writes, "Now if nature has made you for a giver, your hands are both open, and so is your heart. And though there may be times when your hands are empty, your heart is always full. You can give things out of that, warm things, kind things, sweet things, help and comfort and laughter. And sometimes gay kind of laughter is the best help of all. You can give without loving, but you can never love without giving." A dear friend once said to me, "Tyra, you were born and you die, but you know what? It's the hyphen in between where you write your story, where you give your gifts." I always say each of us has a story. Each of us is a story, a gift to the world. Our question for today, if someone could read your story, what would it say? Our first show this month features not one, not two, but a rare collection of gift stories. You could say in studio with me today is an entire human library, a family, mother, father, and four of their children, each a dynamic story, each with unique gifts, and together, wow. Today we showcase intergenerational love, spirit, and fun. It's a family affair. We're going to visit the land of Script Hop 101. Yes, I said Script Hop, not hip hop. You're going to love this show. You're listening to Radio Fairfax, Fairfax, Virginia, on your TV, computer, or mobile device. And we are webcast worldwide on the internet at www.radiofairfax.org every Saturday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, should you miss us, you can catch us on our podcast on YouTube, Frankly Speaking with Tyra G. And if you feel like connecting with me offline, it's easy. Email me at tyra@tyragarlington.com. I'd love to hear from you. Thanks so much for tuning in. And thank you, Courtney Nero, for composing and performing our Frankly Speaking theme song and for naming it I'm Listening. After a short break, we will unwrap the gift of Script Hop 101. You stay close now.
Choose radio. Choose a big stereo. Choose loudspeakers, car hi-fi, compact disc players, and electrical antennas. Choose sitting on that couch listening to mind-numbing, spirit-crushing commercial radio shows. I chose something else. And the reasons? There are no reasons. Who needs reasons when you've got Fairfax County's own freeform radio station that's always commercial-free? It's your station. Use it.
If rock and roll is what you want, then rock and roll is what you'll get. 60 minutes of original rock and roll, Saturdays at 6 p.m. on the Rock and Roll Review with me.
Who are you?
I'm Mickey Bo, taking you back to the 50s and even earlier. Would you like to listen?
Sure, I don't mind.
Then groove to the real oldies, Saturday evenings at 6 on Mickey Bo's Rock and Roll Review on Radio Fairfax.
Crazy.
They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons. Every Saturday from 2 to 3, we'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
Fly me to the moon. Let me swing among those stars.
This is Mike Delaney, host of Simply Sinatra. Join me Wednesday evenings at 10 for a weekly meeting with the chairman of the board, a true American idol, Mr. Francis Albert Sinatra. That's Simply Sinatra, Wednesdays at 10, right here on Radio Fairfax.
In other words, baby, kiss.
Hi, I'm Jenny Garth. As a mom, there's nothing more important to me than seeing my kids smile. That's why I've teamed up with the American Association of Orthodontists to shine a light on the importance of a healthy, beautiful smile. We all want to look our best, and an attractive smile is part of it. Getting your child an orthodontic checkup can make a huge difference in their future. Orthodontists straighten teeth and jaws. And if braces are needed, today's hip models let kids sport their own personal style during treatment. To learn more, visit braces.org.
Take care, Grandma.
Okay, baby. Don't forget to let me know the second you get there.
Yes, ma'am.
My grandson always tells me I worry about him too much. And of course I do. I'm his grandma. Well, I was worried sick when he came home from Afghanistan. He came back wounded. It wasn't a wound you could see. It was a wound inside. Post-traumatic stress disorder. My T couldn't sleep. He was angry all the time. He felt like he didn't fit in anywhere. Then I heard about this group, Wounded Warrior Project, people helping warriors like T. So I figured who better to help my grandson than people who could understand what he'd been through. Now, I don't know what they do there, but my T is smiling again. So I figured they must be good people.
One out of every five warriors returned from the battlefield with post-traumatic stress disorder. Help support them at woundedwarriorproject.org.
If you know the symptoms and get the facts, you'll know the signs of a heart attack. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if it sounds familiar, call 911.
Pain in your neck, chest,
arms, or jaw,
shortness of breath,
please tell us more. Cold sweats and nausea, tiredness,
it's time to take it serious.
Back pain, stomach pain, shortness of breath, cold sweats, nausea, dizziness. If you know the symptoms and heed the signs, you'll be around for a long, long time. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if any sound familiar, call 911.
Learn a song that could save your life. Get a free download at womenshealth.gov/heartattack.
Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if any sound familiar, call 911. If any sound familiar, call 911.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
911. All righty, get ready, get ready, get ready. Listen up.
In the year 2006, in the city of Baltimore, Maryland, my father, for the first time, coined the phrase scrip hop. He used it to describe the type of music that we were going to create that would enable us to worship God for the rest of our lives and have a good time doing it. Now, we were little guys then. Using music produced by our cousin in our aunt's basement, we were about to sing and rap Bible verses that would change our lives forever. Here, let me give you a little sample.
You must teach what's in accord with sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled and sound in faith, in love, and endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much want, but to teach what is good, that they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands so that no one will malign the word of God. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled in everything. Set them an example by doing what is good in your teaching. Show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned to those who oppose you. May be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us.
Grip hop is Bible verses set to hip hop tracks. Don't let anybody tell you any different. This is how it's been created. Now we've heard other people say that they were gonna take it to a higher level, but I assure you, there's no higher level than God's word. So with that being said, we just want to show you what Script Hop is in its truest form. Please listen.
For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good.
101.
So Script Hop does not make us role models. Being praise warriors does not make us role models. We are fallen individuals, each and every one of us. We are pointing you towards the one that is a role model, towards one that you want to be like in every single verse. We're pointing to him.
Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and to show true humility towards all men. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Now, Script Hop is not meant to replace your Bible. Script Hop is meant to help you memorize what's in your Bible. Because without the reading of the scriptures, you can't hope to grow in Christ Jesus. Script Hop is for your enjoyment. Here, let me give you a taste.
So that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things, so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone, but avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and arguments and quarrels about the law, because these are unprofitable and useless.
Hey guys, thank you for coming out tonight. I'm glad that we can set you straight on what Script Hop is and what it isn't. We're going to be answering some questions in the back over some light refreshments if you'd like to come and join us and hang out for a little bit. Thank you for coming out and supporting us and supporting Praise Warriors and Oblivion America. Hope we'll see you soon. Have a great night.
I hear you out there going, what? What was that? Seemed like hip-hop to me. It was hip-hop, only script-hop, and a lot more. Did you feel like dancing? I'm sitting here looking at the Praise Warrior, Mom and Dad, and we all right on the beat. Dun, 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 dun. So let me introduce you to, Wesley, why don't you start, the Praise Warriors,
yes,
in
ma'am.
The studio.
Yes, ma'am.
What's going on? I'm Wesley Oblivion. I'm 23 years old, and my favorite part about being a praise warrior is probably being able to take the scripture, the Bible, and making it palatable for a younger generation, you know, something they can listen to and engage in a way they might not have been able to do otherwise.
How you doing? My name's Julian Harris. I am 20 years old. One of my favorite parts about being a praise warrior is completely selfish. I love the opportunity because of how busy we all are. We're all adults now. We all have full-time jobs, and we all have responsibilities. It forces us all to be in one confined space together and be forced to interact with each other. And it's always a fun, great time. And reminiscing with the family about old times and building something new together is always a lot of fun.
Hey, this is Shaw Harris. I am 21, and I personally would say my favorite part about being in the Praise Warriors would be the fact that I have this, we've all been given this whole new avenue to spread the gospel and spread the actual words directly from the Bible to so many people in such a amazing way. And it's just really a gift to be able to help out when it comes to spreading the word.
Hi, I'm Cheyenne Harris. I'm 18 years old. And what I love about being a praise warrior is that we have a unique opportunity, like Wesley and Shaw were saying, to spread the gospel in a unique way. And for me, that's very important because I have a lot of hobbies and I have a real passion for the arts. And it gives me an avenue to express myself in a way that brings glory to God. It's a way to use the gifts that God has given us and to enjoy ourselves and really express who we are as people and to be able to connect with other people on one ground, which is through music. And it's a very unique opportunity and something that we, I think, all collectively enjoy very much and enjoy doing together.
Before we talk to Mom and Dad, I really want to key in on a couple of things. Younger generation. I was doing research on millennials, and they're walking away from the church, and they're walking away from Christ, and they don't see that it's relevant. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I've done in my career is marketing, and you got to go where the eyes are. You got to go where the ears are. You got to make it relevant. So I'm applauding you, because even if they don't hear the word, they'll hear the beat. And if they stay long enough, the words will permeate. Mm. And I think that's awesome. The second thing I love about what you said is an opportunity to hang out as family. Yes, don't hear that a lot either. That's beautiful. That is absolutely beautiful. And now, the originator of the idea or the vision, Mr. Wesley. Wes, I'm sorry. Wes is dad. Wesley is son.
Good evening, all. I'll give you a small look into my life. My name is Wes Harris. I was born in Queens, New York. Spent most of my life there. Normal life, broken home, of course. At a teenage, we moved to a bad part of town where I learned a lot of street ways, running the street, selling marijuana. It came at a time where crack hit heavily and caused me to lose a lot of friendships and caused me to dive more into the street aspect. Lived with a single mom for many years and just ran the streets, just dropped out of high school. In 93, due to domestic violence, I was called to Baltimore because of an issue with a sibling. I came down here with hopes of creating a new life, being something different, and so I took a job in fast food where I met Karen. Shortly thereafter, Karen got pregnant with Wes, and the dreams of being a normal person slowly slipped away as I slid back into my street ways, trying to live a double life of selling drugs and cheating on my wife and doing foolish things. The Lord apparently just figured that was enough and sat me down. During a robbery, I got sentenced to 6 years in prison, and in that time, I learned about the Lord and studied His word. Karen and I were able to reconcile and grow. I was released in 3 years, 2003, and returned home. The challenges of coming home were normal, as you would expect. It was much easier to be a Christian in prison than it was out. You have to apply these things and become, you know, the man that you spoke about, that you dreamed about. And my darling sweet wife decided that she was going to endure this torture of staying with me and stay with me the whole time. And then we started the praise wars, and we had five more children.
Before you start, Karen, I really think, Wes, what you said begs a comment. I believe that life is a process. It is not an event, and it has steps. And each and every one of us makes mistakes.
Amen.
And what I love is the forgiving grace of God. And what I tell everyone, particularly the young women that I mentor that are broken, I say, guess what? Every single day that you wake up is God saying to you, it's not over. You are more than who you are to become. So get up and get busy.
Amen.
And I see that you've done that, and I appreciate the accolades to your partner, your wife, your love, and nine children. Praise God. Okay, Karen.
I'm Karen Harris. Our oldest boy introduced himself as Wesley Oblivion, and Oblivion is their stage name, in case anybody heard the difference there. I'm really grateful to be on this particular time in your station, I mean your programming, because of the idea of gifts. And when we had first had Wesley back 23 years ago, he was a gift to me. At that time, I was young, and I thought that being a parent meant you fed them and kept them really clean. Wesley was the cleanest child that ever walked the face of the earth. And kept him from killing himself. And then I ended up in extraordinarily difficult circumstances, that I married a man who was much worse than I had imagined a man could be, ended up with four children who are 5 years and younger, with a husband who was incarcerated. Wes said it was 3 years, but it was actually 3 years and 4 months.
But who's counting, right?
Yeah, I'm not counting at all. And I found that the challenges of single parenthood, the challenges of a very difficult marriage, of living a very disadvantaged life that I volunteered for when I married him, meant that I had to really press in. I pressed into the Lord, who I had walked away from, which is why I ended up marrying a man I shouldn't have married, though God turned it all out for good. And then there was a further blessing and challenge in that I ended up having these four children who were extremely gifted and strong people. And as a parent, how do I serve them well? We decided to homeschool the kids, so I am with them every single moment of every single day. And I struggle to find ways to give them opportunities to grow in leadership. Like, how do you teach a person to lead while simultaneously making them follow you? You know, having four children that are all really headstrong, it was very hard to teach them how to submit to authority. They still have a hard time with it. We all do. The whole family of rebels. How do I teach them? How do I give them the ability to grow as leaders? How do I give them opportunities to utilize their giftings without actually it costing any money? So that was always how do we do this without money? And so I have found that though I went to university and I got a degree, and I had originally thought before I had my gifts, my children and my husband, I thought that I was going to use my particular talents out in the world to do all kinds of things. Unbeknownst to me, I would end up spending my adult life learning how to use the giftings God gave me to be able to help grow my family, to
wonderful.
Serve them well.
Yes, yes.
And it's been a wonderful journey for me, and to help me grow, and really been a blessing.
You know, I listened to you, and I heard, and you know I'm going to do this, I'm every woman, it's all in me. One of the things that I think we do as women, we're nurturers, we're givers, we put our family first. It's in our DNA.
Absolutely.
And what I find the challenge to be is we have a hard time treating ourselves like someone we love. Did you have a problem with that? Do you have a problem with that? What do you do? How do you love up on Karen and say, hey, I'm worthy. This is my day. What do you do?
This is one. When Wes was in prison, I took jujitsu for a year.
Oh, okay.
So,
all right.
So, I mean,
that's loving up on you, I guess.
I can break your arm, but if I. So that was something that it was just for me.
Okay.
I have over the course of my adult life chosen to have different hobbies that I had to force myself to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I have taken horseback riding lessons, and I run. I haven't run recently. I've been doing yoga, actually. But I've run and gone hiking. And over the past probably 3 years, I spent a whole lot of time reading mm-hmm. and studying and meeting with another girlfriend. We have our own private book club.
Hmm.
I do find, though, that if I spend any amount of time outside of my house, that I immediately start feeling guilty. And I do every time. And I've check your watch, which mm-hmm. my phone, because I don't even have a watch, and say to yourself, oh my gosh, I've been gone for 4 whole hours without the kids. And I have mother guilt. And then I have to say, like, I'm talking to myself, Karen, you can actually leave the house.
Yes, you're allowed.
I can do this. And of course, Wes gives me perfect freedom. Mm-hmm. Shoot, go somewhere. Go ahead and do something. But it is something that I have to wrestle with and choose to say that I do need to do things outside of the house without any of the children. And again, we have, as has been mentioned, we had 5 more children. So I've been parenting little ones for a very, very long time. And moms do need to unplug.
Yes, absolutely.
And pursue things that help her grow. And so that's something that I have forced myself to do, because my natural inclination would be to literally never leave the house and just run around cleaning and, I don't know,
go flip
the laundry. Yes.
You know, it's interesting, and I hope all you mothers out there heard that. Even though she has to force herself, she understands that without depositing something back in, she can't really continue to give, right? All right. Karen, why don't you talk a little bit about whatever you want to talk about? It's open for you now.
Okay. I'd like to have Wes explain how he went from prison, and what he hadn't mentioned was he used to make music before he became a Christian.
Wonderful.
To he goes to prison, comes home, and somehow we ended up just finishing a second CD. And that was not we didn't have a family collaboration where we said, let's all do a family project together. Yeah. It didn't go down
it
like
wasn't
that.
It wasn't an event. It was a process.
No, it was absolutely a process. But it was Wes's process.
And what, before Wes, I want you to talk a little bit more. When you said it's easier to be a Christian in prison than it is in the world, can you just say a little bit about what were the challenges different out than in?
Well, during my incarceration, of course, you're in a controlled environment, as controlled as it possibly can be with other inmates such as myself.
Mm-hmm.
But as Karen has stated, I did music previous to this. Most of my life, I wanted to be a rapper and just never really focused enough, because I was more driven by, you know, wanting to get high and sleep around with women. So with that being said, I was never really focused and never to achieve the goal. So once incarcerated, the Lord gave me an opportunity to review my life, see the mistakes, see the growth, see what he would want me to do.
Mm-hmm.
In that time, the chaplain had came across me and said, I had said something during a service, and she had wondered, you know, why was I incarcerated and things of that nature. So when I shared with her, she had decided that she wanted me to be the leader of the choir. And I had never sang. I'd sang previously, but never seriously. So again, they gave me an opportunity to do a part of the ministry. So in that time, Karen and I reconciled. But again, the distractions, the issues that are in prison are very different than the ones outside.
Mm-hmm.
So in that time, of course, I had time to study. I had time alone. And of course, you had these dreams of grandeur and how things are going to work relationship-wise. But once you return home, then the mm-hmm. demons creep in, the insecurities creep in,
the
conflicts
tests.
Of
yes.
relationship creep in,
mm-hmm.
and they're not as easy as you expected in prison. Your wife has expectations of you to which you cannot meet. You have expectations of yourself. You have time limits. You have things that you want to achieve, and they do not come to fruition. So with that being said, there is many adversity. So continuing on, Karen has known my past and known about my love and passion for music. So after my incarceration, she questions me as to what you're going to do musically, and I said nothing. I have a nephew that's very involved in what we're doing here, and he had learned music from me and decided that while I was gone, he would move his equipment to my house when I returned. And he returned equipment to my house, and I started to dabble, but I had no desire. Technology had changed, and it made it difficult to create music, so I had no desire. So I did a couple of songs, and I left it alone. But Karen always curious. You always asked me, you know, what are you going to do about your music? And I said nothing. So in that time, of course, I'm reintroduced to church, going to Grace Community, which is a church home, and I've loved it dearly. It's been inspirational and wonderful. There was a contest there, and they were setting scripture to music, and someone had asked, you should do it. And I said I had no desire. Then they said, well, you should let the kids do it. And I said, yes. The kids won the contest, and they continued to ask us, where would we get music like that? I had nowhere to tell them. My mother-in-law suggested that I do that kind of music. And that's pretty much how the Praise Warriors got started. An added note was Karen asked, well, what are you going to do after that? You created that music. You can't sell it out the trunk of your car. That's illegal.
Yes, yes.
So we made a way, and the Lord gave us provisions and an accountant, which is a wonderful woman. And we created our own record company, Oblivion America Recordings. And we went on from there. That's pretty much it in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm. And what I do know from the little that I do in any kind of production of anything, a nutshell doesn't begin to describe.
No, ma'am.
When you're creating, you're pouring your, it's not a head-to-head adventure, it's heart-to-heart. Absolutely. And it's spirit-to-spirit, and it is challenging. Sometimes you wonder, why am I doing this again? And I know the day I hit the send button to send my book to my publisher, I cried like a baby, you know, snotty kind of crying. And I called my editor, and I said, and she said, you spent 18 months giving birth. And it wasn't easy. There were times in the writing I had to walk away because I was giving of me. And it's the most of me I've ever given. And I believe that's probably true with you. And so though I'm not you, I can be empathetic about the process. And I just want to say thank you for your gifts and sharing them and how you've decided to distribute them through your children. What a great distribution channel.
So there's a lot of head-to-head that went on between Wes and this giftedness that he has. He is a musical, like, he has no concept of time or money or deadlines or anything else. So we have this man who has all these giftings. He ends up working on this music. And then I am, though I am a visionary, I also am really, really practical. And so there was a lot of arguments. One really dumb argument we had pretty much nonstop for almost the last 10 years was he would say, I don't have enough time to create. And I'd say, well, you have 2 hours, so get in there and get to it. And he would say, it doesn't work like that. I'm like, well, you have 9 kids. It has to work like that. You just have to use what you have. Like, you just got to make it happen.
Right.
And us, between the two of us, me trying to come alongside of him and give him the opportunity to do what he had been called to do, which unfortunately meant that he and I argued about it, you know. And then on top of it, we've had a whole lot of bumps in the road in this journey with the Praise Warriors. Unfortunately, I know sometimes when you hear these really neat stories about somebody who ended up making it in whatever business or whatever way they made it, we don't always get to hear the backstory as to all the things that happened that led up to that. But in our case, there was a lot that had happened that was really difficult for us as a family, for us to work through to even get to where we are. And I'm going to let Wesley go ahead and take over.
Now, before you do that, Wesley, you just talked about, and we've been talking about process and steps. I want to play another selection I chose because I know it wasn't always light. Okay?
Yes, ma'am.
good. Turn it up. Huh?
Walk with the light, learn from the light. Walk will be right. Christ in his sight. Fight the good fight. Hold your Bible tight. Pick a verse to recite. Right there, black and white. Walk with the light, learn from the light. Walk will be right. Christ in his sight. Fight the good fight. Hold your Bible tight. Pick a verse to recite. Right there, black and white.
As the Father loved me, so if I love you, now remain in my love. If you obey my commandments, you will remain in my love. Just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love, I have told you this, so my joy may be in you, and you and your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I love you. Now greater love has no one than this. Then he laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends. If you do what I command, I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. I've called you friends for everything I learned from my Father. I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command, love each other.
Walk with the light, learn from the light. Walk will be right. Christ in his sight, fight the good fight. Hold your Bible tight, pick a verse to recite. Fight there, black and white. Walk with the light, learn from the light. Walk will be right. Christ in his sight, fight the good fight. Hold your Bible tight, pick a verse to recite. Fight there, black and white.
Before it's on TV for all mankind. In darkness, my God had a plan to shine. To create a light, you see.
So I think what we're saying is being a praise warrior was a process and not an event. You had to learn to walk in the light. Wesley, will you talk a little bit about that?
Oh, surely. I'd say, just for a little bit of context, you know, when our Father came and asked us, you know, do you guys want to embark on this journey? Do you guys want to be praise warriors? We were all pretty adamantly in agreement. It's like, yeah, absolutely. We'd love to do that. You know, it's like Julianne had said earlier, it's a gives us a context to just be around each other and to work as a unit. And
you all like each other.
Yes,
huh?
Ma'am.
Some, we do now.
Some of it took a while. Yeah, it wasn't always like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking at you and I'm thinking like, wow.
Yeah.
That also like was praise, a process.
Yeah. Big long process.
Okay.
But for myself personally, I had a pretty generally limited role in being a praise warrior. You know, I mean, I guess in some ways I am the leader. Not that I do all that much more, but it was like that up until we had run into a problem where after the first album, which had its own set of debacles, we had lost the entire album after it got finished. And, you know, by God's grace, we made it again. Better the second time, but it was really tough to work for that long. You know, we were younger. We were all finishing school, mm-hmm. driving down to my cousin's house at my aunt's house and, you know, rapping in a basement. In a bathroom, because that was the studio at the time, mm-hmm. and you know, that was a blessing mm-hmm. for us, but you know, it was difficult, and so we lost that CD. We ended up finishing it finally the second time around, performed off of it, and then around the time we decided, like, let's do a second album, mm-hmm. We had a utter drought of instrumentals and music, and so at that point, we had someone come through, a good friend of ours, Mike Guest, and he brought some programs over. I sat down one summer and turned out I'm actually a pretty decent music producer.
Yes,
so
surprise.
Yeah. So in a circumstance that could have been really difficult, and we were dry with instrumentals for a good long time, and it was very demoralizing. I learned that I had a gifting there, and so I ended up being able to be way more involved in the process with my parents, mm-hmm. My father and I working in tandem a lot of the time when it came to the actual business and production and so on. So in the time period since then, which is when I was about 18, so it's been about 5 years now, you know, we've had our website difficulties. Mm-hmm. We've had a very difficult time with websites over the last couple of years until the wonders of Squarespace happened. We had struggles with the state of Maryland. They're just really not nice to small businesses, mm-hmm. And they've caused us a lot of grief over the years. We've had our Facebook hacked by some bitter individuals, you know, and that was difficult because there was a lot of trust built mm-hmm. with this person, mm-hmm. and so it was a very spiteful assault.
Satan's like that.
Yeah, ain't it? So, but our computers crashed several times. We almost had to pray over equipment before we bring it into the house mm-hmm. because it seems like every single time we touch a piece of equipment, it ends up being broken. And, you know, there was a point where we kind of thought about, like, this might be a little extra. Like, there might be some spiritual, you know, motivation for this. And so there's prayer going over computers at this point. But out of money, just a lack of money, finances. And then finally we finished the second album, and we had a really difficult time figuring out how we were going to mix and master it because, you know, you can be a good artist all you want, but that stuff's technical. People
right,
go to school
right.
to do that job.
Exactly.
We didn't have it. And so we got blessed with money from my father's cousin, shout out to Bone. And we were able to professionally get it mixed and mastered. And then we got to finish. We're like, all right, well, where are we going to release this? So that was another blessing that came along the way. But it's just been, especially being a part of the process as a young adult and to grow up in it, I just can't imagine how difficult it'd have to be especially because my dad had been, you know, walking through some of that stuff by himself.
Yes.
And then to get there on his level and look at it, I'm like, man, this takes a lot of God's grace and mercy and a lot of prayer, because there was just so many. And same for my mother, especially when it came to like the financial situations that we found ourselves in when it comes to something like music. It's just not easy. And so to be a part of that was a blessing, whether or not it was really difficult to just see how many times we got bombarded with all kinds of wild shenanigans.
Well, let me ask you this. Can you see now that you're much stronger because you overcame all the things you're describing?
Yes, ma'am.
And now you know how strong you are. Nobody can take it away. Yeah. You've been tested.
And I think being able to pay those costs makes the finished product or
yes.
where we are today, you know, whether that's relationally, mm-hmm. I don't know that we've gotten the payout financially speaking yet, but as of having the product, there's just, you know, to have the CD finished and to have the relationships we have now and to have come that distance just makes it so much more important. it makes it so much greater than it could have been. Because if it had been simple, we had just high-fived and went on our way. And instead, it was an emotional ride.
And see, that's, to me, we say, you get what you pay for.
Yeah.
You paid a price. Mm. And you just said, you know, it's a lot better. It was a lot better the second time. And, you know, you talked about age in there. And Cheyenne, I know when we first talked or when we talked earlier, I ask you, and I know this is just getting off script, but I ask you, you started with Praise Warriors when you were six.
Yes, ma'am.
And I want you just to take a couple of minutes to talk about, I know you can remember, what it was like at six and what it's like now at 18, because it has to be a totally different experience for you.
Absolutely. So when we started, as mentioned, I was very young, and a lot of it was just doing what was asked of me. As mentioned, my father made a lot of our music, and most of the songs were completed before we even heard them. He would do all of the parts, and then he would just tell us which was ours, and you know, we would then do what was our part. And so growing up in this, I have taken, I've slowly taken on some more responsibility, but things do look a lot different from an older age. And there's a deeper appreciation and a deeper understanding for what we do than I had as a child. I always loved being a praise warrior. I enjoyed being on stage, and that's something that will never change for me. But as I've gotten older, I see the work that goes in behind it, and I see the looks on people's faces, and I can feel the emotion. And it's not just about dancing around on the stage anymore. It's an expression. And
say that again.
It's an expression.
It's an expression.
It is. And it's a, like I had said earlier, it's a connection with people. And as a child, it was a performance. But now that I'm 18 and I'm a little bit older, I can understand that there is more to music than just the sound. There's a connection, and there's something a lot deeper there. And I do remember being a kid and looking at the audiences and just thinking like, oh my gosh, everyone is so big. And that hasn't changed much.
Yes. Yes, you're the shortest person, I think, in the group,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yes, ma'am. I'm a very small human being. But I definitely have, like I said, I've grown in such a deeper appreciation for what we do. And growing up in something like this is not a lot of, is not something a lot of people can say, that they've been a performer for more of their life than not.
Absolutely.
And so it's a gift. It's definitely a gift to be a part of this.
Okay. I haven't heard from two of the Praise Warriors, and I do have an expectation that they'll at least say, well, Miss Tyra, you know what?
Well, now that we're talking about...
Who are you?
My name is Julian.
Okay.
Julian Harris.
And now that we're talking about...
Now that we're talking about the process over the product, one of the things I enjoyed a whole lot through the process is our chance to practice. Practicing always gets very interesting for performances.
Absolutely.
Since we were kids, we've been doing it since we were kids, so we, throughout these years, have heard the same songs over and over and over to a point that we all get very, very comfortable with them, which makes practicing both easier and harder.
Okay.
The way we accomplish practicing is you are stuck in a room with us four or five, whether my dad's there or not, and we joke and play around until we're sick of being stuck in that room, and then everybody has to apply themselves.
That sounds normal for youth. I mean,
yes.
You know, all the young people I've met, that seems to be the process.
Absolutely, which makes it a whole lot more fun. So we know all these songs, so it doesn't feel as much like a sense of urgency as opposed to, you know, just a nice brainstorm. And we get to hang out together as a family, spend time, and then after a while of, you know, getting cabin fever, we're like, okay, we need to accomplish this because there was other things I wanted to do today. We've been here for 5 hours already.
Yep. Now, Julian, you said something else that I'm looking behind your words. You said, we know these songs now, and I'm hearing these are a part of us.
Absolutely. Yes.
And to me, that's the gift, you know, when scripture can become a part of you and you can make it real, You know, it's like learning a foreign language. At first, you're just practicing it. But when it becomes a part of your intellect, your being, you become expressive, you feel it differently. And I'm thinking this has to be the same thing.
Yes. There's okay. One of the nice things is once you have all of these verses memorized and have them, I guess, ingrained into your thought process, when you start going through hard times, there'll be just times where I just start rapping my verses to myself, reminding myself of the things that I know are true and the facts of real life. And let me go through and remind myself of all of the truths God has shown me.
Absolutely.
And I would say when it comes to...
who are you?
Oh, I'm Shaw Harris.
Okay, Shaw.
Second of the group. And it all really started at a young age. I want to say one of the most prominent starting points we really had was we used to perform at a summer day camp that we used to all be a part of. And I can just remember at a young age when we'd all be sitting in groups of our peers, they would call out the praise warriors and then we'd all stand up from our respective groups and make our way up front, and there'd be a lot of looks of confusion, and then we'd get up there and get to really show everybody our stuff. And it was just, it was like a really heartfelt moment, and I got to feel very deep about it because it was just so amazing that I got to be a part of God's will in sharing his plan, his verses with these groups. And it's also pretty interesting because, like, the progression of us starting out, as Cheyenne said, she was six, the rest of us all under the ages of, like, 12, and being up on stage, a little awkward at first, you know, bright lights, lots of people staring at you. It definitely takes a while to get used to, and it was to a degree where our father used to help us choreograph little dances and stuff so we didn't all just stand there with our hands stuck to our sides, eyes wide.
Because we would.
Because that's exactly what we would do, absolutely, like a group of deer. To now where the last performance we did, I actually did it the entire thing in a wheelchair because I had just freshly broken my leg. But it didn't slow me down a bit. I can honestly say it was probably one of our most energetic performances just because, as Julian said, we've been doing these songs are the Bible. These are all, like, they're pretty much all verses, so this has just really become a part of us, and we've been doing it for 12 years. So that really helps ingrain the performance, the getting out there, the not being as afraid to really stretch your stuff a little bit. And I think it's great that we have, and also the fact that we've been homeschooled, raised together, and been practicing this for so long that It's a very connected and group effort to a point where we can all really vibe off of each other. If somebody gets a little lost in their words, another person can immediately pick up on the verse and follow through. It's a lot of passing off and helping each other out. And I think it's personally, I think it's in a way kind of beautiful how well we can work together as a group and really make something happen up there.
I think I'm going to flip the script a little bit for the programming. I want to put a ribbon around what I heard. First of all, I want to thank each and every one of you for what you do for everyone, and that you took the time to drive 2 hours to sit in the studio with me. And I appreciate you unashamedly stepping up and stepping out to declare your faith, your power, your family, and your love. I mean, that's there are a lot of people out there that want that don't know how to get it. And there are a lot of people that have everything else materialistically and are still broken and lonely. And I see you sitting here, well, we don't know how we're going to make money yet. I get that part. But in the process, you're rich. Absolutely. You are absolutely rich. I think what's special is I believe you're in the process as well of being who God created you to be. And that's the greatest blessing of all. And each of us, you know, we forget, just like we have unique fingerprints, each of us has been created to do something so special that only we can do. Absolutely. So finding it as a family, as well as individually, I heard you talk about we could be together, you know. Yeah. That's the gift that keeps on giving. What I'm going to do
is I usually do my theme song, but I think I'm going to pray. I think I'm going to play another one of yours, if that's okay with you.
Absolutely.
All righty. I think this one is great because it's called Praise Him. Been listening to Praise Warriors. I want you to know I haven't forgotten about your exercise. Every morning when you brush your teeth, look in the mirror and say, I am worthy. I am not alone. Nothing that's happened to me in my life will be not used. Please understand, you are not your circumstances. And this is Tyra G. Looking forward to next week with you. Same time, same place. Be well. God bless.